So here, having seen, contemplated upon the faults of self-cherishing and contemplated the qualities of cherishing others, one should engage in the practice of exchange of self and others by abandoning the pursuit of one's own interests and working for the welfare of others. So here, as mentioned in the Lama Chupa text, the Guru Puja text, or is also mentioned in the Bodhisattva-charavatara by Shantideva, engaging in Bodhisattva deeds. Here it says, what need is there to mention more? Just look at the difference between the great Muni, Shakyamuni Buddha, who cherished all sentient beings, and the infant-like, those who are infant-like, who cherish themselves. One can see what difference between these two. So that one can tell the benefit, you know, of such exchanging self and others. So here, Buddha Shakyamuni, by cherishing all sentient beings, by abandoning self-cherishing, cherishing others, working for their welfare and benefit, ultimately attained the state of full Buddhahood, which is a fulfillment of one's own self-benefit as well as the benefit of others. So both these aims, this dual aim of self and other benefit, were both simultaneously achieved. However, for those who are infant-like, here infant-like refers to those who are narrow-minded, those who don't have a broad and expansive view, who abandon working for the welfare of others and accomplish only their self-interests. These are the ones who are still circling within samsara, circling within cycle existence. So therefore, seeing the difference between Shakyamuni Buddha and such infant-like sentient beings, one can tell what are the results, you know, of self-cherishing and cherishing others. Therefore, one should abandon cherishing oneself and work for the welfare of others through the exchange of self and others. Yes.
Mm-hmm. 大臣やんじゃせやで、大臣じゃせやだ、感じてるせな。あ、ま、あ、論じばんじ。じゃやわとでよろ。あ、なんと、あ、単独編集の、だってね、論じばんぞ、じゃやわとんだ。あ、だって、え、自分の、え、論じばんじにそうでな、じゃんじばんじ。じゃやわとでそうでな、論やわと、あ、それともにな。
So here, then the verse it continues to mention, please bless me to, in order to be able to engage in the practice of exchanging self and others. So here, when one talks about exchanging self and others, how does this come about, and how does one go about doing that? What exactly is this exchanging self and others? So, for example, previously, we only cherished ourselves, and we abandoned the working for the welfare of others. We abandoned our others and worked solely for ourselves. However, now this practice of exchanging self and others, these roles are switched. You know, the situation is entirely turned around. So here, one turns the object of cherishing onto sentient beings, focusing on sentient beings as one's object of cherishing, and instead of cherishing oneself. What is called self instead becomes object of self, becomes the object of abandonment.
Yes.
One can see that our founder, Shakyamuni Buddha, if one engages in this practice of Thonglen, then one will receive great benefit from it. As our founder, Shakyamuni Buddha, at the time of practicing or cultivating the path, by engaging the practice of Thonglen or giving and taking, then accumulated vast amounts of merits, and then completed the accumulations, and then receive the great benefit of the attainment of full Buddhahood. So then, also in the life stories of the past life of the Buddha, one can see that in one lifetime, the Buddha was born as this person called daughter. The reason why he was called daughter is because in that family, whenever the mother gave birth, all the daughters remained alive, but all the sons died. So eventually, when they did give birth to a new son, they named the son daughter instead, so that he would remain and not die from whatever causes. So when this this guy called daughter grew up, inherited. It was a custom of India to the one inherited the family tradition of whatever profession, inherited the family profession. So here, when he grew up, he proclaimed. The family they was born into belonged to these trade of seafarers who would go into the ocean and search for jewels in the ocean. So when he grew up, he proclaimed that he would take over it or inherit his father's profession. And then his mother, since this was the only child, the only son that was left alive, she could not bear to see him brave the dangers of the sea and probably die through that. So she tried to stop him, and then with much insistence, eventually putting her head, her very own head, on the threshold, against the threshold of the door, hoping to stop him. But of course, a conflict ensued, and then he was eventually he hit his mother on the head as she was obstructing his way to the ship. On his way out, so he hit his mother's head, and so she could not stop him anyway from going to take on this this risk. Yes.
また、ロバモンワンって、ちょっとさ、このワンポンディティブの重心ね、年間中で言われる。年間中で言われるのはね、ジャーク・コマ・トモチ。テレビのワンワンに、無天にそのテレビ、言われる。今度カレーになるね、ヤング・ルゴのトモ・ゴヤ、チーズのノンチュ。こんなの例が出たら5万円税金で素直さまやる。だって今のやね、めちゃめちゃ5年、じゃあこの時こうし、数字の場合、数字のこの子、やってみんなが、チャーで例が出て、パンジェンドゲージやってみる。去年で外資やぞ。うん。ね、あめ5年こんばんじゃがね、全然なめるで、計算す。
So by walking over her head, because she put her head on the threshold. So he walked over her head, and then eventually he went into the ocean, and then on a ship he started sailing with his mates, and eventually their boat became overturned by the tides, and all his mates drowned in the ocean, and he alone grabbed onto a large piece of plank, wooden plank, and through that he was able to remain afloat and was carried by waves to an island. When he arrived on an island, he came upon a very tall house made entirely of iron. And when he was inside an iron house, he heard someone wailing from inside. So when he went close to the iron house, the doors flew open. And when he entered into the iron house, out of curiosity, the doors closed themselves up again, and he was totally trapped within. And then he came upon this one person in the very center of the house who was sitting there in pain because he had this mechanical wheel turning on top of his head on its own iron wheel turning on its own, and this wheel was sort of like a blender kind of, you know, knife-like thing. It was wearing away his brain matter and his skull, and lots of blood were coming out. So then this daughter asked this person, saying, "What happened? Why are you suffering this?" So he said, "In the past, I had committed a negative karma of putting my leg on my mother's head. Therefore, I'm suffering this, this fate." So then the daughter also immediately thought, "No, I also did that too, but maybe I'll probably get that same retribution as well." So upon the very thought itself, then a voice boomed in the sky saying, "May that which is bound be freed, and may that which is free be bound be bound." And so this voice, I came from the sky, and the wheel lifted from that person's head and landed on daughter's head. And then as I was turning, I was experiencing extreme pain. So at the very moment, he could recall to mind that in this world, entirety of this world, there are lots of people who have done such similar negative karma as well, kicking mother in the head, putting their feet on over the mother's head. So then thinking, he made a prayer, "May I be able to take the suffering of all these people upon this pain itself?" So by making this wish intensively, eventually that wheel stopped spinning and rose from his head back into the sky, and he was freed from such a fate, such torment. Yes.
Mm-hmm. 로바데 他就把他<笑>
So that is another lifetime of the Buddha when he was born in the hell realm, and along with another hell realm being, both of them were dragging, they're forced to drag this particular cart or bullock in the hell realms, both of them with their own necks, the lasso around their necks. So as they're pulling and dragging, the hellmate was suffering. So then he was unable to pull as strongly as he did. So then the guardian, the hell guardian, was watching over their torture. On top of the bullock, then on top of the cart, then hit his friend on the head with a hammer. And then so seeing the suffering of his hell realm mate, you know, they he generated great compassion. And this then that lifetime Shakyamuni Buddha then requested, you know, instead of just two of us suffering, you know, please put his noose over my neck as well, so I'll pull the cart on his behalf. And so due to this great compassion from his side, because he was unable to bear the suffering of this other hell realm being, so this great compassion, the force of that, he purified a lot of karma, negative karma. So then the hell realm being said, this is, you know, not possible. So then the hell realm being hit him on the head with a hammer too. As a force of that, then the karma was purified, and he was free from the hell realms. So both these stories refer to how the Buddha engaged in the practice of this giving and taking, and also can also be understood as elucidating the benefits of practicing giving and taking. Yes.
Yeah. Dada それだ、ガービジェンジェンチャーはあてたんだって説明するわけ。それだ、ああ、ジュースも大物になれんじゃんけんで、それだ、ああ、ロンジェンジェンチャーはと、ああ、エミュージェンチーバンジェン、エミュージェンチーバンジェン、エミュージェンチーバンジェン、マト、エミュージェンチーバンジェン、オムツローチェーとか。だって、チェーリーなに、カレーはせない、ソニョンズとやだ、ペヨンチムジーはいるんだ、テレビにチェーバーです、ソニョン。이제대형한다그때는누나다리펜송을했다니저를보면서해야되게뭐나야레벨레벨나서대지고는저는이제전에이다전에도공매나인단다마이고라공부지하고나면그치는거가되는거야이제전에공부는들은남성인것같다지パワーって言うのよ。だって、レベナドって取る、レンゲさんのおじるわ。レンゲさん、サバンドーネン、トーネン、トーネン、トーネン、ペヨって言うのよ。だから、センチンパーディネで、ドガーパーディネバサバンドーバだ。センチルレオン、ベラパーディネバ、デンバンドバチ、エメ、トーネン、トーネン、トーネン、トーネン、トーネン、トーネン、トーネン、
So here, yesterday we mentioned about the practice of exchanging self and others. Such instructions should be imparted in secret. So here, the reason being that if one wants to attain, if one desires to attain the state of full Buddhahood for the sake of oneself and others, swiftly, one should engage in this practice of exchanging self and others. And this practice is a practice that is exclusively for bodhisattvas of sharp intellect. Those bodhisattvas who are not of sharp intellect or faculties then are not able to practice this. Now, because this is essentially those who really abandon self-cherishing and then on the other hand, also cherish all sentient beings. For those who are not able to do so, who have duller faculties, are unable to practice this. So therefore, it's kept in secret. And also, this practice is extremely, one receives great benefit from such practice. And also one is able to complete the accumulations, the two accumulations, very quickly. So therefore, accumulate merit very swiftly. So therefore, it's a practice taught to those who desire so. And then in the case of the life story of the daughter, by taking the head ailment of the other person, he did not have to, he was relieved of having to suffer the fate of the turning wheel on his head for a long time. If at that moment he did not meditate on this practice of giving and taking, then he would have to experience for a long time. But due to that meditation, he was immediately freed from that fate. For that torture. So therefore, in the Guide to in the text Engaging in Bodhisattva Deeds, Shantideva says, you know, just by merely taking the ailment of others, you know, and here it's just one particular type of suffering only, which is a head ailment, one is able to achieve such benefit. What more needs to be said, you know, with regards to the actual practice of giving and taking, whereby one imagines taking each and every sort of suffering from each and every type of sentient being throughout the whole universe, and giving them each and every type of happiness through each and every type of every sentient being throughout the whole universe. What more that needs to be said regarding the propensity of the benefit of such extensive practice?
ちょっとグジャーというコーナーで、たぶん出てるのは、低価格に税に免税金取るようなコーナー。税に何シェアの方など。それから、カナミスタンダー、その4年の年に、天竜県に同然地域、東南港、天竜県に、全南の桃で茶。従来の東南、東南、東南が税収ですね。メイクが出れるちょんくる 那这个蛮简单的，这就放在那嘛，大锅里面去洗啊，啊，空气分离那样样，哎，特别那个，特别那个，你摸摸见了，哎，那个多久，嗯，那东西特别放久呢，哎，茶房摸摸久不得。
So here, one can also see the great benefit of this practice, especially during the time of Jovanapas, which was like 900 years ago from now. During that time, when one contracted leprosy, it was considered to be incurable. The only fate of leprosy was death. So there, at that time, the practitioners of the mind training, dharma, giving and taking practice, then taught and made many leapers engage in the practice of exchanging self and others, engage in the practice of mind training. And so by meditating upon this practice of giving and taking, many were eventually cured of their leprosy. And hence it became known as the leper's dharma. So also during the time of Gyatso Pamongkha, the first Gyatso Pamongkha, his root guru, Jamyang Hodo Dabo, also was said to have also taught this Father Lam Rim, the graduated path enlightenment, as well as the Lojong, or the mind training teachings to many lepers, and caused them and made them engage in such practice, and through that many were said to be cured of this disease, this dreadful disease. And so nowadays, we also hear many instances of people who engage in actual practice of giving and taking, but also cure themselves of cancer through such practice. So this can be this is quite common nowadays. So meditating upon this practice of giving and taking Dongnian is beneficial not only to this life but also for future lives and whatever spiritual goal all the way up to attainment of full Buddhahood, whatever you may wish for, can be fulfilled through this practice. So one can receive great benefit through this practice of giving and taking. This practice of giving and taking involves this abandoning the pursuit of self-interest and working for the welfare of others. And this practice, in the beginning, to do it in its full form might be difficult to accomplish. So therefore, one needs to train one's mind in this practice in gradual stages. So in the beginning, one might be difficult to do it in its full-fledged form. So one should train in stages by firstly focusing on the interest of oneself, or the benefit of oneself. Firstly, by thinking, may tomorrow's suffering ripen today, so that tomorrow I'll be free of pain and worry, I'll be happy, and I'll take the suffering of tomorrow. And then so training in such a way, gradually, once you get used to that, then you start thinking of even further lengths of time, longer periods of time, such as the next month's suffering ripened upon this month, and next year, and so on and so forth. So taking the suffering of not only tomorrow, but the next month, and the next year, and so forth. So even, so because at the beginning, still is within the goal one's own self-interest, so that is still acceptable for one's mind. Yes.
ガレガレにジンジドマンのことでよくわかる。でもそうはね、人間心で、パルモドンがジンナデバテルにジンメゾバリのね、ジンジドマンソネとか、パルモ、デバテルにジンジャバ、ジャンメメバザルトンね、パトンや。
So here, one by gaining familiarity to this practice of giving and taking, eventually one will be able to take the suffering of others. To engage in this practice, first and foremost, one needs a great compassion. And here, not just honoring compassion, but the compassion that cannot bear to see the suffering of others. When you see the suffering of others and you find that totally unbearable, you want to take all of their suffering upon yourself. Only then can one engage in this practice of giving and taking. And then also, simultaneously, one needs great loving kindness by seeing the happiness of others, you know, and then wishing them to achieve every single happiness and giving away all of your happiness to others. So one needs to familiarize oneself in stages of practice. Firstly, beginning with taking the suffering of oneself, and then when one is familiar with that, one is comfortable with that practice, then one progresses to take the suffering of all of one's close and loved ones, ones who are close to oneself, such as one's relatives, one's loved ones like one's parents and children and so forth, and then one's friends. And then when one is comfortable with that, now it progresses to the next stage where one focuses on strangers, people that we do not know, and then on top, and then eventually moving on to strangers whom we do not know, and we just have a feeling of equanimity towards, you know, neither attachment nor anger, aversion, neither attachment nor aversion. And then and when we're comfortable with that, then we move on to our enemies. And eventually moving on to all sentient beings, focusing on all sentient beings when engaging this practice.
Yes.
So here, when one is really thinking of this practice of giving and taking, since generally the, you know, Avalokiteshvara, the Buddha of compassion, is the deity of compassion, one should ideally visualize generally in front of oneself as one's object of prayer, or one can also visualize the Lord of the teachings, the master of the teachings, the Shakyamuni Buddha, in front of oneself. And whichever way, then we visualize then to that object of refuge of prayer, then we offer the seven limb practice, and then we make extensive prayers to be able to realize, gain the realizations of this practice of giving and taking. In short, whatever deity one visualizes, one should see that deity as being the nature inseparable from one's root guru, who in turn is the embodiment, whose nature is an embodiment of quintessential embodiment of all the Buddhas. You know, so therefore, by praying through strong prayer to realize Dongling practice, then therefore the Guru Deity's body, like rays and nectars flow forth and enter through one's crown, purifying all of the hindering all the hindering obstacles, all the interferences, such as the self-cherishing thought and so forth, and also engendering the positive qualities such as the mind of cherishing others. All these are engendering one's mind stream. So one should pray to this deity, to the deity inseparable from the Lama. One can also choose one's own meditational deity. However one should see that as being inseparable from one's guru, and then on the basis of that, on top of that, then may engage in such extensive prayer to realize this practice of giving and taking. Yes. When one is engaging in this practice of giving and taking, it is important to generate a good motivation, thinking that also reflecting upon the faults of cherishing oneself, thinking that we have been cheated by this self-cherishing mind. Due to the fall of this self-cherishing mind, we have been left behind in samsara and not be able to attain the state of Buddhahood. And so then, laying all faults upon the self-cherishing, begrudge it, and then make the strong intention to destroy, strong determination to destroy the self-cherishing mind. And then, following that, in order to be able to quickly attain the state of Buddhahood, to benefit others. So then engendering such a motivation, then engaging in the practice of the meditation of giving and taking. If one is able to meditate on all six realms, each of all the six realms is extremely beneficial. For example, if one meditates upon the hell realms, firstly one can contemplate the environment that they are in. As mentioned yesterday, those beings of the hells experience the burning hot iron ground that they tread on. And then for those beings of the cold hells, they constantly engage in below freezing layers of ice, you know, such incredible suffering. So then one should imagine taking away all their sufferings upon oneself. And here one directs those sufferings into the very center of one's heart, where there is the self-cherishing mind, which has always been there with ourselves, with us, since beginningless time. And then so when one's taking the suffering upon that, one should visualize all the suffering of others coming to oneself in the form of terrifying aspects, such as the poisonous spiders and scorpions, and in the form of lightning storms and form of different weapons and so forth. And then while directing them into onto the self, while taking the suffering onto the self-cherishing mind, one should think on all these things, you know, strike the very head of the self-cherishing mind, strike the very head of self-cherishing mind. And then after that, all the roots of virtue that one has generated, one dedicates or one gives away to all sentient beings, imagining that all the environment that they live in and the very sentient beings that live in those environments become transformed into like the pure land of Amitabha, the great bliss, Sukhavati, land of pure bliss, complete with all this special and supreme qualities of such pure land. And so dedicating all or giving away all one's merits to them.
That is, you know,
So here, being born, these beings who are born in the hell realms are in an unfavorable situation, what we call the unfortunate rebirth. They are unable to practice the Dharma. And not only that, they do not have the freedom to practice the Dharma. Not only that, their physical bodies are also extremely ugly. So therefore, they are also unable to practice Dharma. So when you are taking their sufferings, you take all their inopportunity to practice Dharma. You also take all their ugly forms into the very center of your heart, and then you give away. And then having done so, then you imagine giving them all of your roots of virtue, enabling them all to simultaneously achieve the precious human rebirth, complete with all the freedoms and richnesses. Yes. So here, one also not only takes their forms and inopportunity, one also takes all the delusions or all the afflictive emotions in their minds, such as the three root poisons of attachment, aversion, and ignorance. One takes also all their negative karma, all their non-virtuous actions, all the faults in their minds, every single imperfection or fault within them upon the very center of one's heart. And then having done so, then one also gives them all one's roots of virtue, such as loving kindness, compassion. Then having given them, one imagines them, visualizes them as generating positive qualities of faith, of renunciation, of loving kindness, compassion, and so forth, all the qualities of the path. Or also one can imagine one's roots of virtue manifesting into Dharma teachers, virtuous friends who then teach them Dharma, and then teach them the stages of the path of enlightenment, and then leading them, guiding them in practice, and eventually placing them within the state of Buddhahood. So engaging in such, having, and then thinking, now that I've placed them, free them from all suffering, and placed them within the state of Buddhahood, then one should spend some time meditating upon joy, generating a feeling of joy towards having done so. One can do likewise for the hungry ghosts. Imagine taking all their sufferings and then giving them all the roots of virtue generated from one's virtuous state of mind. Firstly, taking away all the sufferings, all the faults of their realms, all the undesirable qualities, and then imbuing those realms with one's roots of virtue, making that realm into a perfect environment and imbued and endowed with various qualities. And then also one can focus upon their physical bodies, firstly taking upon the undesirable sufferings, then giving away one's roots of virtue, and then the roots of virtue generated through one's virtuous mind, giving away that, and then placing them within the state of fortunate rebirth, the opportunity human rebirth with all the qualities of freedom and richnesses. And then, as I said before, also taking the faults of your mind, all the faults and shortcomings of your mind, such as the three poisons, attitudes, and so forth. And once again, giving them one's roots of virtue, such that they generate the qualities of faith, renunciation, loving kindness, compassion, and so forth. And then placing them within the state of Buddhahood, and then generating joy towards that. Yes. Likewise, after that, one can do this practice relating to animals, or relating to animals, firstly taking all the faults of their environments, and then giving away one's virtue, transforming their realm into a perfect environment, and then taking the suffering of their physical bodies, such as their forms, their physical form, the ugly forms, as well as the various types of suffering that they have to endure, also taking their primary suffering of ignorance and dumbness, unable to understand and practice the Dharma, and then so transforming all of them into perfect human rebirth, And also, once again, taking all the faults of your minds and then giving way one's fruits and virtue, imagine that they engender the realizations of the path. So, likewise, when one is moving on to the human realms, one also focuses on taking all the faults and shortcomings of their environments and then giving luxuries of virtue, conforming to a perfect environment, and then taking the sufferings and faults of their physical form and giving away luxuries of virtue, and also taking away their taking upon oneself the shortcomings in their minds, such as the various negative emotions, and then giving away one's virtues of virtue or one's virtuous mind, imagining that they generate all realizations of the path. So one can do so likewise for all the beings of the Asura realm, and also for beings of the heavenly realms.
Yes.
中央
So here, when one is engaging this practice of giving and taking, one is taking upon oneself all the faults of others and giving away whatever qualities that one may have, even such as a virtuous state of mind. If you have realizations of the path, such as renunciation, bodhicitta, emptiness, of course you could give away all these realizations. However, even if you are unable to, if you do not have these realizations, you can give away this is your virtuous state of mind to all sentient beings, and it's still imagined that all of these sentient beings attain Buddhahood. So until sentient beings attain Buddhahood, prior to sentient beings attaining Buddhahood, there's always some kind of suffering or obscuration that you can take from sentient beings, take from others. So even the bodhisattvas who are about to attain Buddhahood, even those bodhisattvas can still, one can still imagine taking their suffering upon oneself. So Buddhas of the 10th ground, where they're just about to attain Buddhahood, all they have left within their being is this extremely subtle obscuration to knowing, obscurations to omniscience. So here, one can imagine taking that subtle obscuration upon oneself and then give away to that bodhisattva all of one's extensive, all of one's virtuous mind in an extensive way. And then by doing so, imagine thinking that bodhisattva completes its roots of virtue, its accumulations, and then attains the state of full Buddhahood.
Yes. 제반 연례인 공도의 연례에 손질의 파티는 양마다 텐데 차지하고 이제 대체는요 딴 양도 가도 교회에 대해 있는 화 대체 주소 인정 손놈마다 화통을 누가 저이나 그 소실로 듣자 책을 보기로 하니까 뭘 좋아하냐고 책을 대개는 손을 쓴 것도 있는 거예요 옛날에 그 화를 다 살고 가는 것은 정말 대단하다 가고 옛날에 한 것은 아니지
So in general, the 10th level bodhisattvas, with regards to their activities, abilities to benefit sentient beings, all their qualities of attainment, and all their qualities of abandonment, and so forth, each and every quality, with the exception of omniscience, the rest of other qualities are equivalent to that of the Buddhas. You know, so therefore, they're extremely powerful beings. We impoverish sentient beings, even though we do visualize taking upon their subtle obscurations to omniscience and giving away our roots of virtue. However, this is beneficial only for our minds, such that by including even such bodhisattvas within the scope of our practice of giving and taking, we accumulate extensive merit or roots of virtue and makes our minds more vast. It makes our minds more vast. So it is difficult for beings like us to be of true benefit to such powerful bodhisattvas who are about to attain enlightenment. However, to be of any true benefit to help them achieve enlightenment. However, to include them within the scope of our practice is to accumulate, it will help us to accumulate extensive merit and also make our minds more expansive. Yes.
Mm-hmm. 사주가 왔다는데요. 오늘 공부하는데 예론 자금 모세야 대단히 많다. 예론 자금 모세야 그래서 정주일 생각하지. 원놈은 난 몰라. 대대적인 고려 중에 하나를 줘. 연모 말고 뽀. 나도 만져. 대대적인 대화를 할 때 뒤에는 정주일 생각하니까 정주일 공부 통과. 이게 제일 약간 경험가를 열었으나 시작한 지 대단하신 모습이 생각하게 전반을 들여야 하는 시집을 생각하게 되었는데 딱 대통령은 시집을 문제로 좀 유선으로 별로 파악하고 대단한 선생님의 공부를 꼬리고 선바 그런 것 같지 못하면 되는 쪽으로 일단 처음에 제가 이제 아다론에 되게 연하고 이제 중심이 연한 대설에 과 대사도 되는 쪽으로
So here, even such 10 level bodhisattvas, one can, with regards to them, in relation to them, one can engage in such practice. Also, one can also include one's the other realized beings, such as the hearers or the arhats, and the solitary realizers or the particular Buddhas. One can include them within the scope of one's practice. These beings belong to the Hinaya practice, and hence they do not have bodhicitta. They train in the path for their own sake, and hence they have achieved a state of liberation whereby they're free forever from all samsaric suffering. However, due to their lack of bodhicitta mind, they are yet to attain the state of Buddhahood, and able to attain the state of Buddhahood, which is endowed with the qualities of omniscience, being able to see the entirety, the vast entirety of all phenomena, and all its variety, and as they are, you know. So this omniscient state of Buddhahood is obscured to these hearers and solitary realizers. So they have these obscurations to knowing or obscuration to omniscience. So taking such obscurations upon oneself and then giving away one's roots of virtue thinking that it manifests as a bodhicitta mind or manifests as the qualities of the omniscient mind within these beings. So using these and realized beings as an example. One can also include within one's scope of practice those beings who have achieved considerable qualities of realization, and then whatever little faults they may have, one can imagine taking those faults upon oneself and giving away on whatever reservation one has to complete their qualities. Yes. So here, the scope of beings from which one can take all the sufferings and engage the practice of taking includes each every single being with the exception of Buddhas. And however, with regards to giving, the scope of giving, one can include every single being as well as all the Buddhas. The reason being that the Buddhas have achieved a state of full Buddhahood, whereby they are completely free of all faults and shortcomings. Therefore, there's absolutely nothing you can take, no other fault or shortcoming that you can take from them. And also, they've completed in their trainings of qualities. But however, when one is giving, they completed all their qualities. However, when one is giving to them, one does not give qualities to them. One imagines that one's roots of virtue manifesting into different types of offerings, and presenting these offerings to all the Buddhas. So one essentially begin offering one's practice, offering one's virtuous mind, manifested into these varieties of offerings, and then pleasing the Buddhas by presenting to them. And then, or alternatively, one can imagine these roots of virtue when sent out to the Buddhas, because part of their enlightened activities that accomplish the welfare of others. So another category of beings that are not included within the scope as mentioned before, included and not included in the scope as I mentioned before, are the one's own spiritual teacher, one's own spiritual master, the gurus. So here, the guru is one who teaches the Dharma to us, and established a Dharma connection by taking by receiving Dharma directly from the teacher, then one needs to, even though the teacher may manifest or master may manifest in ordinary form, still one needs to think of the master as being the Buddha. One needs to abandon all minds that see faults in the master, and so therefore one does not include the master within one's scope of taking sufferings or taking away of faults. However, still one can imagine giving away one's roots of virtue to the master while manifesting as pleasing offerings, pleasant offerings that are accepted by the master. And then by making such offerings, one thinks that the whole lifespan